everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of Marketing Corner.
Whoop, whoop.
There it is. We need a soundboard or something.
Yeah, we definitely need like a button or something. Yeah, something. Like something we can click.
Someday, once we get a Patreon.
Yeah. Support us, people.
Yeah,
support us.
Like and subscribe.
Or something.
Casper.
Yes.
Today, we are going to talk about something that I think a lot of people out there will find very helpful.
Yes.
Particularly those who are currently hunting for jobs.
Yes.
We are going to talk about recruiting marketers. Mm-hmm. What do we look for? What mistakes do we see?
Yeah.
What makes our pulse go up and say, I have to talk to this person right now? And what says, thanks, but no thanks.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I think this this stems a little bit. So I've been in the recruitment process. Both of us have pretty big teams. So, mm-hmm. And I've been recruiting a lot last year. But this week, I reviewed 300 applications. Not 300 CVs, but 300 applications for two open positions at SparkForce. And I was just seeing a lot of mistakes and a lot of good things. And I was like, okay, Jen, let's talk about this because let's try and avoid these mistakes in the future.
Yes, please.
For that would save my life a lot. So let's just start. Like, maybe I can give some context and then we can kind of go from there. So I'm recruiting for an art director and a senior copywriter. Two positions, two creative positions. I think that's very important to state.
It's different to...
Very different to other things.
Mm-hmm.
So two very creative positions, especially the art director, of course, but positions where it's very easy to also showcase what it is you can do,
mm-hmm.
like in your application. So the way I've done it is I've had two open positions on LinkedIn and I've sponsored those with some money behind them.
Yep.
And we got 150-ish on each over the span of 6 days.
Wild.
So
that's great employer branding. That
it's
you're
great.
Doing.
Like we have a great brand and people want to work for us. So I'm not complaining. First things first. I think there's some one thing I'm really annoyed with. And this is a small thing, but is that I got a lot of applications from people who like it says specifically you have to at least live in Denmark.
Yes.
I got a lot of applications from everywhere in the world,
yes.
And that's because I think I don't know for a fact. I'm not an expert on this, but I put it as hybrid. Because like I'm open to people. We're an office first. Like I want people around us be at the office. But if you want to work from home once in a while, totally cool. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't like want you to live in Canada and then come once every 6 months. That's not how it works.
No.
So I got that almost half of all the applications are like people who don't live in Denmark.
Same. When I was recruiting and you know you had 300 applications, I was recruiting 11 positions or 9 positions or something within the span of a handful of months.
Yeah.
Because we were building the team. Same. And for me, when I have 200 applications per role, it's like select. If you're not in Denmark, Sweden, Norway.
Sweden is okay. It's like Malmö, Skåne, those kind of things we can work with. But there are some, of course, and also within Denmark, there's also, if you're in Jutland, we can make it work sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? But most of the time.
If you're in Abu Dhabi,
probably
not going to happen.
And if you are, because I've had some cases where it's like, then you have to make it crystal clear that you're open to relocation or you're planning to move to Denmark or something similar.
Yes, make that clear.
Because
yes.
I've had I had a few cases where it's been like in their headline of the CV, hey, I'm relocating to Denmark. I'm like, okay, now I'm listening.
Yeah, I've had that too. That's a really good point. Because and just for we have a no hybrid policy.
Okay.
You can work from home, but we don't allow remote working 100%.
No, so I don't do this.
And we're very clear. We said you must be located, you know, commutable to Copenhagen, whether it's Malmö or whatever. So we make that very clear, and we still got them. So
But like I've had a few cases where it says like relocation open to that. That's fine. But if it doesn't say that, like I don't want to be the one to ask you. I want to go out like, hey, man, I can see you're living in India. Would you be open to relocating to Denmark?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So either you tell it to me or like we're moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm moving on. I think it's like I was thinking about it like when I was going through all these, like how much time. So I reviewed almost 300 in a day or something crazy. Mm. How much time do you think I had to spend on each?
Exactly.
I don't have a lot of time.
I think that's something that you need to know this. People looking for jobs.
Yeah.
You get 15 seconds.
That's
15, 30
that's
seconds
all you get,
maybe,
right?
Is all you get to, and the first thing I'm going to go, location.
Yeah.
First, latest job, or most recent job.
Yes.
If you're a chef,
you're
just
out.
Looking to come to Copenhagen, you're out.
Yeah, you know, like I was looking for an art director and somebody has been like, had been working in sales. I'm like, I'm just moving on. I'm like, the last three positions are in sales. Like, why are we even talking? So I think that's been like that's a thing. I want to point out like a few things. Like I've gotten some applications. Like I've had I actually have one. I'm interested to talk to the person tomorrow because this person didn't have a LinkedIn profile. And I was like, I was doing this with my assistant Monique, and I was literally telling Monique, I was like, this is a huge red flag to me.
Yeah.
Like a huge red flag.
And if you work in marketing.
If you work in marketing, have a LinkedIn profile. To be honest, like I'm at the point now in my life where I feel like if you have a LinkedIn profile and you're not doing anything on it, that's a red flag too.
Yeah.
Like,
but to not even have one.
To not even have one is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
This guy had a pretty insane CV. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt.
He's so busy optimizing that he doesn't have time.
Yeah, for maybe media. Not. I don't know. Let's see. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not going to lie. It's a big red flag and he barely scraped by.
Yeah.
Right? And but if you don't have a LinkedIn profile and if you don't do anything on your LinkedIn profile, it's actually a really high indicator. And also, I don't know how much you've done on LinkedIn like this app when you do it like there, but sometimes it takes a while to load the CVs and the CVs don't load properly. So what I actually, a lot of the time, I just use the LinkedIn profile as my indicator.
Yeah.
That's my CV. And if I go there and see like, hey, you've been a chef, like, okay, cool.
You haven't updated since high school.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah, like,
I think that's, so that's
a bit brutal, but yeah.
Yeah, keep in mind we have maybe 30 seconds tops to get our attention. And that's something. So number one for me, I do read a cover letter.
Yeah.
I want to see a cover letter. If you don't have a cover letter, one, if you don't have a cover letter, two, if your application is not in English.
That's actually interesting because here we disagree. Go.
Well, it's an Onomondo policy, but okay. I kind of like it because it puts things into perspective. So if you have something bonkers on your CV, like I live in Australia. Well, I'm relocating because my wife is Swedish.
Makes sense.
Ah, okay. You know, so it gives me the chance to see that. But if you haven't taken the time, okay, no cover letter, not in English, company name wrong.
Yeah.
Those first three, I'm like, and if you're like in a, you know, completely different continent, those three for me, I'm like, no, I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, no, and for me, it's the same. I actually really don't care about cover letters because like, I always thought about it, like the CV determines if you are a fit or not.
Yeah.
Like you can write the best cover letter in the world, but if you've never worked as a like with design before, I don't give a shit.
I think for me, I would like, look at your CV first.
That's my point.
And then if you're interesting, then I'm let me see this into context.
And that's why like a lot of when I hear job seekers, they always emphasize like their motivational cover letter or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, that's not the important part.
No.
The important part is your CV. Like it's 80-90% of it.
I don't want to hear, you know, why your uncle got you interested in marketing. But what I want to know is
it can help sway me.
Why do you want to work here?
Yeah.
What is it? Like I will say Emily, our ABM lead, she had the best cover letter I've ever read in my life. Honestly,
perfect.
Hands down the best. She said, like, I have a crush on your culture. The fact that I'm applying while I'm on vacation shows you how dedicated. Like, she was funny. And I was like, I want to talk to this girl. I want to talk to her.
That's great.
She also had an awesome CV.
No, but of course. And that's my point. Like, a cover letter for me is always just an added bonus.
Yeah.
Like, a cover letter is kind of like the, if you go to an exam. Like, like your exam paper determines if you're in the Danish scale, if you're a 7 or a 10. But if your exam paper is like a 2, you're never getting to 12, no matter how good you do at the exam.
Yeah,
like
that's true.
I'm not promoting you to a 12.
Yeah.
If you do well, you can get to a 4.
If you're a chef and you have a great cover letter, I'm probably not going to talk to you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
my point. Unless you're going for like maybe a creative writing post and then you're like, huh.
Yeah.
So there's two other things that I look for, or at least that are a major turnoff.
Yeah.
And I want to see your thoughts on it because I like specialists.
Yes.
I do not want a generalist.
Okay.
Maybe if I just started out and I have one person, I'd like someone who can do everything. Yeah. But I was looking for 11 people. And when I have someone who's like, I can write content, I can do ads, I can do landing pages, I can, you know, I feel that my experience in marketing has told me if you do a little bit of everything, you're not really, really good at one thing.
That's very true, unfortunately.
So what I look for, and then we talked about this in previous episodes of like, what's a shame is when you work in a startup, you are the one wearing all the hats. You are the generalist.
Totally,
but as soon as they get some money, as soon as they start wanting to scale, the generalist is the first to go in favor of a specialist. So I like to know, what is your thing? If you do ads, tell me your numbers, tell me your conversion rates, tell me what you've done. Don't tell me you've done everything.
Right? Just let me know your focus. And
what are you
going to
bring
to
me?
You can have a few things and you can be good at multiple things, but you got to let me know what you're good at.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm good at. This is what I want to do.
What are you going to bring?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've had like multiple people like, yeah, I do strategy, copywriting, communication, art direction, like branding. And then I also do a little bit of paid ads and social media. I'm like, Okay, so everything?
Yeah. So I don't need that.
Why do I, like, can you take my job? Or yeah. Like, so, yeah, I agree with that part. Like, yeah. For me, focus is super important. Because it's also, I always say this to when I talk to just the mentees and stuff, is that I'm not the one to find the focus for you. You yes. tell me your focus,
yes.
and then I determine if that's the right fit.
Yes.
So if you come and you don't know where your focus are, that's already a red flag to me, because that
exactly.
means you haven't actually decided what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't get me wrong, I'm happy to help a mentee with that part, mm-hmm. but I'm not like, you're applying for a job here. I'm going to pay you money. I'm not going to pay you money to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm not here to mentor you.
No.
And pay you at the same time. I'm a mentor and I'm happy mentoring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking for a digital ad specialist. Don't come to me with how great you are at content.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
I want to disagree. I want to point out the so for these, like for the art director here and for copywriter, these are for me two of the easiest ones to prove that you're good at what you do. Because mm-hmm. like if I got some CVs from art directors where I'm like, ugh. I'm like, what is this? Like, are wow. you supposed to know design and this is the CV you sent to me?
Yeah,
that's
true.
A big red flag to me. Like, if you don't role. Like hold yourself to a high standard when it comes to design, and you're supposed to be, and for me, an art director is a step above a designer. Even
yeah, like 100%.
That's someone who really right. Whoa, direction of art, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It says in the title, right? Like you really, and if you give me a CV, Times New Roman Word document or something similar, I didn't get that bad. But someone's mm. like, God, and you're not creative. There's nothing creative about yeah. your CV. And I'm like, wow, can you really be creative for me?
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And it's the same for copywriter. Mm-hmm. I got one where we were discussing it, like the CV, and I was like, the person had all the right experiences, but the copy was so boring. Like the copy was
and
so boring.
And you're a copywriter.
And you're a copywriter. I was like, this is so dull. Like, why is your CV so dull? Like, why is I don't feel any energy.
Yeah.
And then I got some other copywriter where the CV wasn't as impressive, but it was, you can feel the if, you can feel the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's great. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And for me, that's way easier to do when you do that kind of role than when you do, let's say, paid ads or something. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I do Facebook ads, okay? Like,
but paid ads, you have the advantage of, here are my numbers.
You can show, but that's not always that easy, because sometimes it might be
true.
Easy to pull back the numbers. Like, if you left an organization, didn't get the numbers with you.
Yeah,
I've seen
true.
That multiple times.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I was like, for instance,
so collect
me,
your numbers, people. Collect your numbers now.
Collect your numbers.
Keep
that's
your
actually
numbers.
A really good point.
That's
like,
what
that's actually really
I have
really
an
good.
Actual Excel spreadsheet where every month I update my numbers, because if one day I'm out on my ass, I have absolutely every conversion rate
oh
I've
God,
ever done
you're way
since
smarter than I am.
2019, baby.
What?
Yeah.
I
have also LinkedIn followers that I do, maybe not monthly, those ones.
If you guys haven't noticed by listening now, Jen is definitely the structured one.
I am a type A personality.
Fuck. Oh my God, I didn't even know that. That's insane.
But it's because I've been dicked over so many times. I'm like, not letting that happen again. So when I do have to go and say,
I should totally.
But it also, you know, it comes with appraisals too. And when you have salary reviews and stuff, you keep track of your numbers. So just keep that in a personal Google Drive.
That is a great piece of advice.
Hot
I cannot tip. Say I do the same.
Yes.
And not even remotely close. I wish I did, but I'm
But you
not,
have your own company now
well,
that turned a profit in its
yeah,
first year,
that,
so I think
that,
you have.
I think I'm enough. I have enough
You
credentials.
Have enough proof
but
these days.
In early stage, that would be, I should have totally done
early
that.
Early stage Jen was like, I'm
That's
not going to
let
this
smarter.
Happen again.
Okay, wow. Kudos to you. That's great. But back to the CV part. No, but great. But I want to, you need to show your expertise in your CV, especially in marketing. Like, you have to stand out. I know it goes for all disciplines. We got to stand out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring up another way of standing out that I experienced here. Good old outreach.
Yes.
I got people messaging me on LinkedIn, and some of them were not good. But the fact that they messaged me, I spent double the time on their CV and application.
Yeah.
And some of them I had to say, you're still not the right one. But some of them are like, I'm not too sure about you, but the fact that you reached out to me is a very good sign in my book. So I'm giving you the benefit of the I'm testing you.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the good ones who also reached out. I'm like, okay, I'm holy moly, I want you. Like, how do I get you?
Yeah.
Right? But those who reach out, it doesn't have to be a lot of people. Just be like, some people just reach out and says, hey, Casper, been following Sparkforce, saw this cool job application, seems like a cool fit. I just wanted to let you know, I sent over an application. I hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah.
You don't have to do more.
It can be as simple as that. I've had people also who are like, listen to your podcast, love the thing that you said about this, this, and this. And
even
this
better,
is something
right?
I want to bring. You know, it's like, you did your research. Good.
Even better.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I don't even need the research. It adds on top of it. I mean, good. Like, it's better. But just the fact that you wrote to me is great. Like, that's great in my book.
Yeah. It's definitely a plus. The other thing that I think people also do that's a mistake is they oversell.
Yes.
I have seen, you know, I was looking for a content writer for technical content, and I had someone apply who wrote for television, and they wrote for like Antiques Roadshow, and they were sending me all these articles that they wrote about, you know, apartheid and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, like, are you really going to want to come here and write blog posts about Internet of Things technology? Yeah. Like, probably not. So it's also, you know, if you throw everything out, I've won this award and I've done the blah, 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 blah. Like, let's also, you know, I want people who want to stay.
Yeah.
I want people who are going to grow. I don't want people who are going to come and then get bored and leave. So if you oversell yourself, that is the message that it sends to me of like, you're probably overqualified. You know, I've had people, I got contacted not so long ago where someone's like, I'm a VP of marketing. I'd be interested in joining. And I'm like, I'm the VP. I'm not looking to replace myself. Like, oh, well, no, but I'll take like another role. And I'm like, you're not going to want to be
an
entry level, you know, or, you know, whatever we're looking for, an intern. You're not going to want that. So stop. It comes off as desperate. And then when you have people who are like, I'll work for free.
Yeah.
Stop.
No.
No.
I think...
know your worth.
There was an interesting debate the other day, and actually, I can't remember who wrote it, but something in Danish. But it was... talking about like the elephant in the room kind of thing, like in these applications, because like I think he was asking about like how it affected you if somebody had multiple jobs within 2 years. So let's say you had four or five different jobs within 2 years, would that be a red flag to you? And yes. I was thinking about it, and then I came to the conclusion that yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was like no, but it, well, and I was like nah. No, for like, I'm all for like having short job stints once in a while. I've had that too. Like, I had 4 months at my first job after Trustpilot. Like, that didn't work too well. Then I had 3 years at Templify, three-ish. And then I had a short stint, 5 months at a small company. And then I joined another company for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's just because, hey, I chose wrong. Like,
I made mistakes.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, and then when I ended up in a good place, I stayed for 2 years. But I'm actually like 2 years. I think that's kind of like, that's fine for me. That's, of course, it's easy for me to say that's where I come from, but I had a person I was reviewing in this process where it was like, I felt like, I can't remember an exact number, like 5 or 6 jobs within 3 years. That's most wild. Of them were like 4 or 6 months. I was like, for me, that's just indicating that I'm going to be honest here. Like, you're probably hard to work with.
Yeah.
You're probably hard to work with. There's something, either you're hard to work with or you're not as good as you say. And it looked like the things that person was producing looked pretty good, like this, the portfolio and stuff was good, but why do you have so many short stints? There's something wrong.
And I want to add to that, because when I've asked people that,
yeah,
when they bitch about their previous employer,
then
hard no.
Yeah,
hard no. That's when it's like, well, my boss was this or my boss was that, or like, that is not attractive. That's not great. That's like the equivalent of when you go on a blind date and you're like, well, my ex is a bitch. You know, like, I don't want to hear that.
Exactly. And I totally agree. But I also feel like I want people to be transparent, because like, sometimes you are in situations where like, hey, this was shit.
Yeah.
But you can be reflective, right?
Because
like, when I remember when I was fired from this like temply job, by my first job after Trustpilot, I was there for 4 months, and I was my first real job, right?
Yeah.
And I was fired after 4 months and hurt like hell, right?
I'm sure. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I think 80% of the blame is on like the leadership and all that stuff. It was crazy. I can say that out loud. Sorry, but that was really bad. But I wasn't. I'm not supposed to focus on the 80%, because that was a little bit more. That was out of my control.
Yeah.
And the last, but I did focus on, was the 20%. So I could be like, hey, the reason I failed at this was because I didn't do X, Y, Z. I couldn't finish this. So I took that as a learning and a move, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so I
turned it into something positive.
Yeah. But it doesn't change the fact that 80% of it was not my fault.
Yeah, but if you say that, that's like, if you said that to an employer,
exactly,
you're like,
it sounds
example,
weird, right?
I have a 10-month stint on my CV. And when I was asked about it, I could have said, it was a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But I said, you know, it was an industry that maybe I wasn't particularly comfortable with. And it was a bootstrapped company. And what I learned is, I don't like bootstrapped. I like venture backed, because there's more, you know, and
I think
turning it into a positive,
exactly,
turning it into learning.
I,
sorry, just
go.
Anecdotally, when I came to Anamondo, I was fully prepared to explain. And they're like, we've heard all about this company. Don't worry, you don't need to explain. And I was like, that's awesome. Oh, thank
that
you.
Happens so once in a while, right? That,
Copenhagen's very tiny, people. Yeah, that's the other thing. People, yeah. Copenhagen is small, so do not burn your bridges.
Do not burn your bridges.
Do not burn your bridges. I've
reviewed multiple people in this process for both positions where I'm like, hey, I know you. I've either interviewed, you worked for me before or something similar, and now you're back.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of them haven't burned a bridge, but you know, you never know.
But the amount of times I've been contacted by someone on LinkedIn like, hey, you're connected to this person. They just applied for a job.
Oh,
what
God.
Do you think of them?
Oh, so
right?
many times.
We all do that. We all do that. Yeah. So don't burn bridges if something
it's
isn't
not worth
working.
It. It's just not worth it.
Especially maybe if you're in, you know, New York City or something like that.
Yeah.
But Copenhagen is tiny. Yeah. If you're in Copenhagen looking for work, do not burn a bridge.
Do not burn your bridges.
Swallow your pride.
Swallow
leave
pride,
with your head high.
Yep. It's
make sure people say good things about you when you leave.
Yeah, exactly. Don't try not to burn bridges. Like, I totally agree with that. Mm. I think the recruitment process, when you go through it like this, there's a lot of learnings for me also. Like, mm-hmm. and I have to admit, and I don't mean that as a critique, and I think that's bad, reflecting bad on me, but I'll take that. Is that sometimes when I start out a process, I'm not 100% sure what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Actually, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like for instance here, like I've called it an art director, but like internally I'm like, actually a lot of it is like a designer. I just need the last 20% to be an art director. And that's the really important part. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the important part. So I need someone to grow with the role a bit. So I'm also inviting in people who are like different ranges. And my point with saying that is that sometimes people are not 100% sure what they're looking for in the application. Mm-hmm. Like when you see a job ad, like go for it. Don't be afraid. Like
don't
if you think,
afraid.
If you think like, hey, I'm too junior, go for it. Don't be afraid. That's okay. And I remember we did something at Templify. It was super cool, actually. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't part of it. They did at Templify. But when they studied all their applications because they had a BDR team that was filled with mostly male people.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why is it we only get male applicants? Like, mm-hmm. we want females. It's mm-hmm. just we're not getting
any. Yeah.
So they changed the wording of their of their applications, like of the apps or what do you call it? Applications, job things. Or, yeah.
Job ad.
Job ad. Thank you.
thank I got you.
Thanks, boo. and the job ads, and they changed it. So like in the beginning, like all the males, they would be like, hey, they would look at it and be like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Mm. And all the females would be like, yeah, I can do all these 9 things, but not the last ones. I'm not going to apply.
You know what? Funny that you should mention that because actually there's a lot of studies that show that.
Exactly.
And I put that at the end of our job ad. Every job ad on Amundo that I advertise, I said, statistically, women and people of color do not apply if they do not tick every box. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And
I should put that on.
You should.
I'm going to steal
I think
that.
It's, I can send you the actual text. But
please.
I think that's really important because you're absolutely right. I think men tend to be more confident, I think, or they're like, I'll figure that out. I can, you know.
We have a lot more of this, like.
I love that you just said they.
No, we. Yeah,
it's okay.
No. But it's more like I think men have a lot of like, yeah, we'll figure it out kind of approach, right? Like, fuck it.
Which is a good approach to have.
You need
it
to
is.
Be expert Excel. Yeah, I know a little bit Excel, you know.
I've done a. Yeah.
I can do a division.
But we women, at least, you know, speaking as a woman, we tend to overthink. It's like, oh, well, if they test my Excel, then I'm going to fail.
When my wife was applying for jobs, she was like going through them and sometimes she would list it and be like, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. I'm like, it's honey, it's HubSpot. Like,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's not that hard.
Exactly. And I think that's, I think it's important for people who feel that way to not feel that way, to just go for it.
Yeah.
And if there is a gap in your learning, that's where a cover letter comes in. Maybe I'm not great at this, but I'm great at that. And I think, point one, I love putting that, I strongly advise people put, you know, we want to hear from you even if you don't tick every box. Include a cover letter specifically if you don't tick every box to just explain what else you can bring. But that also, you raise a really good point, is in startup culture, we don't know everything we want. You know, in a corporate, you have, this is the box, you have to fit this box.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know. And the amount of times I've hired someone who came in, you know, I had this one thing in mind and they came with something else and I'm like, ha, 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 that would be really, really cool.
That would be super cool to have that.
Yeah,
that.
We really need that. So, you know, and I think it shows that you're not just doing this spray and pray, apply all, you know, you're looking at the job, you're like, hey, you guys do this thing, you're looking for this, but have you thought about this? Because I can actually do this too, and I think this would help you. Then you're like, huh, yes, I want to talk to you, you know, and now you've got your foot in the door.
Exactly. I want to bring, so we haven't done the interviews for this process yet, I'm about to do that, but I've noticed a bunch of things when hiring people, and Just a simple note, and it's you know, it's something you hear all the time, but always prepare questions.
Yes.
Always prepare some questions after the whole process.
Yes.
Because typically, here's my flow, and this is, I'm not, so what happens? Hey, we say hey to each other. Then the first two, three, four, five, whatever minutes, like I try to keep it super short. I like to give context. So I'm like, hey, I'll explain who I am, Casper, SparkForce, what we are, and what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. So just like, just laying it out all, just so we're clear, this is why we're talking. And then once that, I'm like, okay, cool. Now we spent the first three, four, 5 minutes. Now I want to shift everything over to you.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask, who are you? What can you,
tell
how do you fit
yourself.
In? Yeah. And then I ask, and if you don't feed me, then I'll ask you a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, I always do the practical stuff. So when can you start, salary ranges, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And just be mentally prepared. I always ask for salaries on the first interview.
Yes, I was going to say.
And I had people that always do this like dance with me. And I'm like, I'm totally get why you want to do the dance. I everyone advises people to do the dance. I don't fucking get it. Because the only reason I ask about salary is just to make sure that I can afford you.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I do it. Because mm-hmm. like, I'm not like, if you're going to say, hey, I'm three times your budget, I'm like, I'm sorry, but it doesn't make sense to talk anymore.
Yeah,
like, it's not,
done.
I don't,
yeah.
it's not because I don't love you. It's just, we're not.
I can't afford you.
So just, and you can give me a range. That's also okay. Like, that's also okay. You can answer it in different ways. But the only thing I don't accept is like no range. Like, if I have nothing to work with, that makes it harder, way harder for me. Mm-hmm. I know it's a negotiation tactic. I get it. But yeah, that's, I always ask it. And I just need it for like, cause I need to have an idea of where if I can land you.
Yeah. And that's something I definitely want to kind of piggyback on. A good company's not going to lowball you.
No.
You know, if you come in the 20s and the job is in the 30s and you say I'm on 25, you're probably going to get in the 30s.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're probably going to get there. We have a range. We have a maximum,
yeah.
but we also have a minimum. Many companies, some maybe don't, but I have never gone, oh, they're willing to take a lot lower, so let's, you know, no, because it's just going to make you pissed off in the end when you find out that everyone else is on more. So, yeah, give us your range and don't say, but I'll take a cut or but I'll, you know.
But what I actually always, I try to phrase it like this when I always ask, so in terms of salary, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like, what do you really want? What would you be happy with?
Yeah,
like, I would be happy with this number. Just tell me the fucking number. And
yeah,
I'm like, if that number seems great to me, then cool, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And you can start high. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not going to lowball you. I'm just gonna be like, I want to earn 50K. Okay. And then I'm going to be like, that's a slightly over what I had in mind for budget, but it's not unreasonable. I think let's see if we can get there.
Or, yeah, okay, 50K. My budget is 45.
Yeah.
However, let's put something in place that if you hit this and this and this,
yeah.
we'll get you to 50.
Yeah.
Or 45 and some extra vacation days.
Exactly.
How does that sound?
And
or
just be straight.
Flexible
like, just
working.
Tell me what you want.
If
like,
we want you, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't make it happen if you're three times the price.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Awesome.
And cool. Questions to ask also is, what does good look like for this job?
Yes. Great question.
What does good look like? And that's important for you, interviewee, to know. Because if they turn around and say, we want to conquer the American market and that's going to be the measure of your success, that's probably not fair on you.
No.
or we want someone who's going to, you know, give us the hockey stick in their first 3 months. It's probably not the right place for you. You know? And I think the thing to remember, at least from the interview process, you're interviewing the employer too.
Yes.
You're interviewing whether this is a place I'm going to fit in. Who is my manager going to be? What's their management style? Do you have flexible working? You know, ask those questions because you don't want to fall in love with a place and then find out actually.
And figure out who you're reporting to. Like simple questions like, so Casper, on a day-to-day basis, who am I going to work with? Like,
I went on an interview once when I was on the market and I kept getting different job titles. It was like one person called it a CMO position, someone else called it a VP, then I was a director and I was like, hold on, what is this job exactly? And they're like, well, we haven't decided yet. And I'm like, this is a huge waste of my time, you know,
that's
and if I didn't ask these questions, I would have been like in love with a CMO position that never existed.
Yeah.
So, it's also your chance, you know, there are jobs out there. I understand that people can get desperate. I can understand that you just want a job. But if you dive into a place that is toxic, that is not going to help you, you're not doing yourself any favors. And then if you leave that job quickly, then you have that short stint in your CV, which is going to work against you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's better to wait and find the right place for you. Mm. I know this is easy for us to say in our position, you know, and when I was on my maternity and I had the luxury of saying, this is what I want to do. Here's my parameters. Here's what I want.
Yeah.
If you can't meet that, that's great. That's fine. Best of luck. But I'm not desperate. And I think when I hear that from someone, when they're not desperate, that is a big turn on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I do agree.
So
cool. Great.
All right. A little bit longer than usual, but we'll I hope it was helpful.
I think there's a lot more ground to cover here, so we will probably have to do some follow-up at some point. But thanks for listening, everyone. And please shoot over some feedback or comments. Or
Yeah, I was just going to say, this sounds like one that maybe we have some questions or some comments or something. So please get in touch with
us
on
LinkedIn. Yeah, please let us know. Like, there's so much to this, and we are not by any means like... we've done this a lot, but doesn't make us experts, I feel like. I feel like I've done this a lot to have an opinion, but I'm not set in stone in my ways.
We have a lot of opinions. We don't have a lot of answers. That's our tagline.
And on that note, thanks for listening, guys.
And best of luck if you're hunting for a job.
Yes.
Stay strong.
Thank you. Bye.